Chapter 24.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Depa wasn't blind to the way John had regressed. Before that fateful Ataru class, he'd been, if not easily, comfortably asking questions and telling stories to their master. Rather than shy away from all adults, she'd noticed him beginning to extend a fragile trust to the beings in the temple. With her, he'd stopped hesitating over her first name and clearly enjoyed their trips out to Coruscant. She'd even begun to see a mischievous side of him that she wasn't expecting, but deeply enjoyed. With how well he got along with Obi-Wan, it almost should have been a given. Most of that progress was, if not gone completely, significantly reduced. Depa didn't need her bond with Mace to know that her master was deeply grieved by John's retreat. She'd seen his expression, that particular furrowed brow, that meant he was truly concerned. She could read the guilt in every line of his robes, and even the occasional flash of hurt when John kept silent. And John had gone from looking mildly tired and shy to absolutely exhausted and closed off. At least he wasn't as thin as he'd been in the beginning. Depa wanted to make it better, to fix their relationship and at least break out of this stalemate, but John hadn't retreated from her in the same way. She wasn't sure what it was. It could have been that she was younger and didn't trigger the same fear reflexes. It might have been that she was the one who convinced them both up to the council chambers. Either way, Depa was reluctant to do anything to damage the fragments of trust that she'd worked so hard to build. If she messed up, then the only thing tying John to the temple truly would be Obi-Wan. And that idea seemed deeply dangerous for multiple reasons. John still spoke to her, unprompted even. He spoke less than he had before, but his words still came. And interestingly, the mischievous side he'd just barely begun to show hadn't gone anywhere at all. Maybe it was because she was seeing him with Obi-Wan consistently for the first time, but John was almost a little feral around his friend. In the best way, and in a way that was sure to turn Mace gray were he ever to witness it. John's life before the temple meant that he was unpolished in a way the other Padawans just weren't. He was far more likely to tackle Obi-Wan or leap on him from high things in a way she expected from younglings of a predator species, not a human or near-human adolescent. He might have done so because it made Obi-Wan laugh, but Depa thought it was possible that he'd simply never had a chance to play before, especially not with other children. Regardless, she got to witness the absolutely hilarious way that John resorted to bodily throwing himself at Obi-Wan whenever he felt appropriate. The roughhousing was cute. Depa was even hopeful that someday John might be willing to interact with her the same way. So, when John calmed her, asking for her help ambushing Obi-Wan in a training cell, she agreed without hesitation. She didn't even ask for details. That was maybe a mistake, in retrospect. Depa felt John approaching in the Force, as well as through their training bond. He felt gleeful. After the door to the cell opened, Depa understood why. John had Obi-Wan tossed over his shoulder. There was no way he should have been able to manage it. Obi-Wan had a foot, at least, on Depa's sibling Padawan. His limbs dangled down comically far, and Depa honestly thought it was a feat that John managed to keep him from touching the ground. And John's shoulders were so narrow. It was an impressive application of the Force, if nothing else, with John evidently strengthening himself and keeping Obi-Wan balanced at the same time. The argument must have happened with the initial capture, because Obi-Wan hung limp and compliant. John's adorable little face was smug and determined at the same time. Depa decided not to stress about the dark circles under his eyes. He lightly tossed Obi-Wan at Depa's feet. She was inexorably reminded of Atuka, bringing home a present for their unsuspecting owner. It took everything she had not to coo. "I brought you a student," John told her solemnly. Obi-Wan spluttered on the ground, eye bags just as dark. Depa almost followed him into incoherency, but she tugged on every ounce of composure she'd ever mustered while pulling pranks with Kit. It wouldn't do to ruin her siblings' fun. Oh, she asked lightly. I thought Master Kuhn had taken over his training, but I'm still happy to assume the responsibility if needed. John smiled at her. It was brief, but it was the biggest smile she'd ever earned from him. Deppa loved him so much. Obi-Wan turned horrifically red and raised an arm to cover his face. Deppa would feel bad for him, but if he'd survived friendship with Quinlan Vos, he could survive a little humiliation. Not yet, John said. He nudged Obi-Wan lightly with his foot. But if Master Kuhn slips up, I'll keep you in mind. Griff, if that didn't send shivers down her spine. Okay, I get it, Obi-Wan grumbled. He rolled to his feet, mostly graceful. Knight Balaba, Deppa, she corrected immediately. His sigh was so aggrieved that it took everything she had not to laugh. Deppa, he stressed. It has been brought to my attention that I may be particularly suited to Sarasu. You were recommended as a possible teacher to get me started. Deppa snorted. Was it Mace? It must have been like swallowing gravel for him to suggest that. He always wished I focused on his form more. Deppa rolled her eyes. Like he thinks he's so cool, inventing a lightsaber form. Because he could be a suck-up sometimes, John did look impressed. Then the rest of what Obi-Wan said fully processed. Wait, you want to switch forms? I thought you were practically at a knight's level in Ataru. Obi-Wan flushed red again at the compliment. John found some mercy for his friend. It's the way he uses Ataru. I didn't notice until the master said it, but he uses it defensively when he gets the chance and likes to wear out his opponents. I think Sarasu was a good idea. That was quite the number of words from her recalcitrant little sibling. Deppa hummed, thoughtful. She'd never actually seen Obi-Wan spar before, not since he was a baby in the creche. From temple rumors, she knew he had improved a lot. She nodded decisively. Can you two spar so I can see what you mean? John immediately tugged Obi-Wan to the center of the mats. Ataru only, he said firmly, and this doesn't count for our tally. Obi-Wan snorted and complied. Their spar was fascinating. She'd gotten to see some of John's style before disaster had struck. He'd clearly been keeping himself to a lower level to match his opponent, because here, he met Obi-Wan blow for blow. He knew counters that were absolutely not covered yet in class. Considering how well the two fought together, Deppa had a feeling she knew where he learned them. It was fascinating to remember this wasn't even John's preferred style. She could see what he meant, though. Obi-Wan was clearly more skilled at Ataru, and if anything, the rumors may have been underestimating his skill. He flew through the flips and twists and strikes like he was born for it. But it was definitely there, that desire to wait out his opponent. It even worked as John's strikes grew slightly less controlled. But Ataru wasn't built for a drawn-out stamina competition, not the way Sarasu was. Against an opponent equally as skilled in Ataru, or a different form, Obi-Wan would wear himself out trying to wait. She felt indignant on his behalf that someone hadn't pegged his suitability for Sarasu beforehand. Deppa was no battlemaster, and only had occasional experience teaching a seminar, but it was obvious if you knew what to look for. The fight ended as she expected, with John's saber on the ground and Obi-Wan's leveled precisely at his heart. It was only once the spar was over that Deppa came to the heart-stopping realization that both of their blades had been at full power for the duration of the spar. She was never telling Mace about this. Nope. Right. Deppa clapped once. Quite frankly, she said, you have the traits of a true master of Sarasu one day. It's a crime that Jin didn't realize that and push you toward your obvious strengths. I suppose it's useful to be a versatile fighter skilled in several forms, but if you don't let me start you on Sarasu, I'm hacking the servers to send this footage to Master Drawlig and make him cry. She looked seriously into Obi-Wan's eyes. Do you want to make Master Drawlig cry? Obi-Wan frantically shook his head. John, of course, looked pleased. Deppa smirked. He was naive if he thought he'd be getting out of this. John was here already, so... Drills, both of you. I want to see what you remember from the introductory katas. Deppa definitely wasn't ready to be a master yet. She was barely knighted. But this type of teaching, this she could do, and she would probably even enjoy it. John was still so quiet with him. Mace had talked it through with Plo and with Master Tra. He knew it would take time, knew that John had been so reluctant to trust in the first place. Some part of him even knew that such setbacks were inevitable, but Mace missed him. Missed the slightest bit of snark that had just barely begun to come out. Missed the slow increase of questions as John worked on his coursework. Missed the way John occasionally tapped on their bond to check in. Yes, things were getting better, but it was slow. Not quite as slow as John's first introduction to the temple, but knowing what they had been working towards, it felt agonizing. To keep himself sane, to keep himself from drowning in his own guilt, Mace counted the little victories. One morning, John entered the kitchen with a half-awake, "Good morning, Master." He didn't flinch away from a light pat on his head and eagerly drank the tea Mace placed in front of him. Once over late meal, when Mace asked John what he'd done with Deppa that day, he'd gotten an entire story out of John. His Padawan had succinctly recounted convincing Obi-Wan to learn Suresu and practicing katas alongside him in the Sal. Did it seem like there might have been details left out that John of a few weeks ago would have included? Of course, but it was still more than a few words. During their sparring practice, John still used a mix of Neman, Ataru, and Shicho. Mace had been deeply afraid that his Padawan would stop using his favored form because of the loss of trust, but John still swapped easily between all three. While Mace was telling a story of one of Deppa's earlier missions, John had sent a brief burst of amusement down their bond. He'd been keeping it locked tight, in a way Mace was trying not to agonize over. Despite the one-way connection, Mace continued sending positive emotions to his Padawan at every opportunity. He reminded John that he was there, that he was cared for. They were small victories, all of them. But as Mace marked the slow unwinding of tension from John's back, day after day, they were also momentous. He could see them, one day, returning to who they used to be, and perhaps even growing beyond it. John had gone to bed early that night, citing tiredness. He hardly needed to say it, considering the bags under his eyes. Mace would be grateful for any indication that his Padawan was sleeping at all at this point. Unfortunately, Mace had his own stack of flimsy work to get through. It was the time of year that the Jedi Watchmen sent in their quarterly reports. Master Dooku's was one of the first he read. After Padawan Vosa, the man had requested a posting away from everything. Mace didn't blame him. To find out that one's Padawan, a child that one had raised, harbored feelings like that, and then for the Padawan to run before they could be helped, Mace couldn't imagine the horror, and so soon on the heels of Galadron. By all accounts, the man appeared to be well. His report was as detailed and fastidious as ever, a sharp contrast to his grounded Padawan. It truly seemed as if Qui-Gon Jinn was determined to do the opposite of his master on every occasion, to the detriment of those around him at times. Reading over the report, Mace couldn't help but think of Plo's line of questioning during their joint spar. Master Dooku had never met Padawan Kenobi, and while the boy had a new Grand Master now, it might still do him some good. Master Chivaka was sure to be possessive, but Dooku's presence in the temple might be a boon of another kind as well. Despite their turbulent relationship, Mace had hope that Dooku could talk some sense into Jin, convince him to communicate with the Mind Healer, instead of sitting stubbornly silent through each session. Mace made a note on his pad to schedule a call with Dooku. His bond with John flared for one brief moment. Mace froze. While he was half expecting the shadow of a nightmare, it hadn't been anything of the sort. For a brief moment, Mace would have sworn that John was projecting excited adrenaline fight, and not in the blurry way that implied dreaming. Mace wanted to let it go. He truly did, rather than trod on any more of John's boundaries. But he was an adult, with a child in his care, and warning bells were ringing. Dread already pooling in his stomach, he walked quickly to John's room and knocked twice. "John, are you awake?" Mace made sure his voice was calm, in case he had just rudely startled his Padawan. No answer. Mace reached out with the Force. Even though John kept their bond well shielded, Mace could use the Force to check whether there were any beings behind the door. If John was there, Mace would simply move on and let the strange moment go. To his growing dismay, there was no one in the room. Apologizing mentally to John, but too concerned with his safety to do otherwise, Mace eased the door open. He didn't step inside, only checked to see if... Yes, his Padawan's go-bag was still in the corner. That at least meant this wasn't a repeat of that disaster flight with Padawan Kenobi. Speaking of... Mace selected Plo's contact on his comm.
"Mace?"
Plo finally answered, voice groggy. He was clearly already settled into his room for the night, with his mask and goggles off. Mace very rarely got to see his friend's whole face. It was much easier to read the concern in his uncovered eyes.
"Is something wrong?"
"I'm sorry to wake you, my friend," Mace said. "I've just discovered that John isn't in his room. Would you be able to check whether my wayward Padawan is simply bunking with yours?" That wouldn't be the worst thing. Padawans were, of course, allowed to have sleepovers. John simply could have asked permission, though it was possible he didn't know that. Plo's brow wrinkled with concern. The Kaldor closed his eyes, clearly focusing on the currents of the Force. When he caught Mace's gaze after a long moment, his worry was prominent over the calm.
"I'm afraid Padawan Kenobi isn't in his room either."
Criff. End of chapter 24.